I don't think I've said it in the service yet, but I want to welcome you to the season of Lent. This is a 40-day stretch where we're invited to journey together with our Lord Jesus Christ toward the cross. And I think many of you understand the tradition, and for many Christians, much of the focus during the season of Lent is on giving up something. And so I was just reminiscing and thinking a few years back, my wife and I, we were at our dinner table, and we were sitting there with our three daughters and our five sons. They were quite young at the time. And I was attempting to explain the significance and the meaning of Lent. And so I went and I shared with the kids that Lent is a time to do what the Bible calls, to do what the Bible calls repent. To say that we're sorry, and this means that we walk toward God and not away from Him, and that we say that we are sorry for things that we do that are not right. And Lent is also a time for many Christians to think about how they are living as we get ready to celebrate what Jesus has done on the cross and through His resurrection. So far so good. The kids were listening, and so I went on and I explained that some people like to show that they are thinking about what Jesus gave up for us by giving up something they think has become maybe too important for them, like perhaps computers or coffee, dessert, meat, or television, Wi-Fi perhaps. And I was telling the kids, it doesn't mean that God loves us anymore by choosing to give up these things. It just makes us more open. It's meant to make us more open to God and maybe to declutter our lives somewhat. And so the girls, they seemed to be still with me. I wasn't sure about the boys. So I continued on and explained that we would like to do something as a family. And so I want to show God that we are thinking of Him in a special way. So your mom and I, we've decided that we are going to give up dessert until Easter. And we want you kids too to be thinking now of something that you can give up, something that means, you know, something to you. Now, our oldest daughter, Hannah, she followed Don and I's lead right away. And she immediately said, I will give up ranch dressing on everything. And if you know Hannah, she likes to put ranch dressing on many things, and right away, Paige and little Hannah, they said, us too, because they too like ranch on everything. And so our boys, now they seem to be pondering the question a little bit longer and taking this seriously, letting my deep teaching perhaps sink in. And so then finally, one of the boys, and I won't mention his name here, but one of the boys said confidently, I'll give up consequences. Yeah, the kids laughed too. Mom did not think it was funny. And she said, Donovan, that's not funny. Now, our worship series that we begin today during the season of Lent, I have entitled it Along the Way. And the thrust is not so much about what we should give up during this season of Lent, but more importantly, and life-changing, it's about what we need to be taken in. And so during this 40-day stretch, we are going to together experience some intimate, some instructive, some intense, and some incredible moments involving a commercial fisherman, a sibling rivalry, a renegade, a foul-smelling cult, and on Easter Sunday, an apparent zombie apocalypse, in hopes that in and through Christ, that we will learn to love and to hear and to feel and to see. I want to invite Trey Carrington to come now to share out of the gospel reading. I invite you to turn there. It will be projected on the screen, Luke chapter 5. This is where we meet our commercial fisherman, Simon Peter. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You can come over this way, Trey. And then together we, then we'll turn to 1 Corinthians 16. I want to mention the 1 Corinthians 16 passage. This is interesting. This is our memory verse for the month of March. And so when Trey, when he gets to the 1 Corinthians 16, I'm going to invite us all to share, to read, to share it with Trey. We'll read it together, and it'll be projected up on the screen for us.
One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret,
You can just say the Sea of Galilee, that's a little bit. I meant to tell you that.
With the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners to the other boat to help come and help them. And they came and filled the boats to so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell on Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
We want to invite you to read along with us, with Trey and I, this monthly memory verse, which ties in well to our message today, and also the Stepping Up class that we're doing for men. This is the theme verse of the Stepping Up material that we're working through in that men's class on Sunday morning. So let us share this together with Trey and I. So keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. I want to encourage you to remain in that gospel passage, Luke chapter 5. Jesus calls his first disciples. Now, I love to fish. As a matter of fact, I was at one of my dad's favorite ice fishing holes yesterday, which was a real joy to be with him. We didn't catch anything, but we had a good time together. And I love to eat fish. I love especially walleye and perch and whitefish. There's a lot of whitefish up in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, the Lake Superior, and a few other lakes. Very, really good fish to eat. So, and I understand that Pleasant Community Church, we still have our annual fish fry here, right? Right, Jack Swanson? And what time of year does that come around? Is it coming up soon?
In the fall.
Well, we've got a little time to wait.
You have to catch fish first.
You got to catch the fish. That's true. Now, my nephew Andrew, who resides in Florida, Andrew and I, we had the privilege of fishing with Jack a few years back, and boy, do we have some fish story. And so you ask Jack or I about that later. But what we have here in our gospel text here today is some fish story. Now this is the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is full of good tasting tilapia. Even still to this day, if you get a chance to go over there, you'll enjoy this tilapia, the Sea of Galilee, known as Peter's fish. But for whatever reason, on this day, the fish were not biting. And Peter and his crew, they came up empty. Now, this is not good for a family that of commercial fishermen. And so there on the shores, we encounter an intimate moment between Jesus and Peter and his crew. Standing there on the shore is Jesus. And he's teaching and working the crowd. And there's so many that are gathered around him that there's hardly any room for him to stand on the beach. And so Jesus notices his good friend, just a short ways away, notices his good friend Simon Peter, who's now busy cleaning his fishing nets. And so Jesus shouts out, Simon, can you help me? I have a little bit of a problem here. There's not enough room to stand to continue my teaching. So might you and your crew take me a short way and let me continue teaching from your boat? Well, Peter, as we see in the story, Peter obliges. And so a few minutes pass by, and Jesus asks then Peter to pull the boat out into deeper water and to let down the nets. Now, back then, the nets were bell-shaped, and they had weights around the edges, and so once these nets were dropped, the net would come down over any fish that were in the area, and then they would pull up those nets. So I noticed initially, though, Simon Peter does not appear to be too supportive of this request to go out into deeper waters. You know, it doesn't take much reading between the lines, and you can hear Peter saying, "Lord, no offense, but I want to remind you, this is our profession. This is what we do day in and day out. We know what we're doing. Matter of fact, we've been out there all night, and we haven't caught anything. So, say, who are you to say, let's go out there, we're going to catch some fish?" Okay? And so, what appears to be maybe Peter being unsupportive of this notion, I wonder sometimes if we catch ourselves a little bit puffed up, a little bit sure of ourselves and our gifts and our abilities and in our profession. We catch ourselves saying maybe to a colleague at work or to a leader in the church perhaps or to our or even to our spouse, "I know better than you. Who are you to tell me, you know, this? You know, I've been doing this for some time." And maybe you're right. You know, maybe you are right. Peter was right. He's been at this. He's the professional. He's the commercial fisherman. But in doing that, I wonder sometimes if we make the mistake then, we make the mistake with Jesus and with one another of thinking that we have it all figured out and failing then to remain open to what Jesus might have in store for us. You know, think about those times where you've made that mistake and maybe you missed out on a wonderful blessing just because of that lack of humility and certainty. And think of those moments. I mean, I remember I was thinking back when years ago I was trying to discern a calling into my next church. And so I was, you know, seeking, going to chapel whenever we had chapel, seeking the Lord's will and trying to listen to his voice. I was calling up all these seminary professors that I had a great deal of respect for, you know, wanted to bounce my ideas off their minds, you know, seeking their wisdom. And you know, it was this stranger that I met on the bus lot. I was a school bus driver for Kansas City School District. And it was this stranger, he was a bus driver, but I didn't know his name, and he kind of stumped a lot of times. And I don't remember exactly what he said to me, but it was like 6 a.m. in the morning, it was dark outside, the buses were warming up. And whatever he said to me, I just knew without a doubt that it was God speaking through this man who I don't even believe was a believer. But God was using him and I'm just so glad I didn't miss that moment because it really gave me some clarity and direction on my next step. And that's what I'm trying to draw from this. Peter's, we got this. We've been doing this for a long time. Just be careful there because you might miss out on a wonderful opportunity for growth because we get in the way of ourself. And then Jesus shouts out. And look at verse 4 with me. Jesus shouts out, Peter, put it out in deeper water. Put it out in deeper water. Now, I just had the privilege of spending 10 years living under Gitche-Gumee, which is an Indian name which means big sea. It's Lake Superior. Lake Superior. And it has some deep water. The deepest part of Lake Superior is 1,333 feet. Just in comparison, the deepest place in Lake Erie is 210 feet at its deepest point. Lake Superior, the length of Lake Superior is 350 miles across. It's 160 miles wide. The average depth of Lake Superior is 483 feet. That's quite a big lake. There's some big fish out there. We have some big fish in Lake Erie, too. Praise God. Now, the Sea of Galilee is no comparison to the Great Lakes. But it's a pretty incredible. It's actually a lake. Tradition refers to it as the Sea of Galilee. It is quite remarkable for this, though. It is the Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater lake on the earth. Now, the lowest lake on the earth is the Dead Sea, but it's full of 9 times more salt than our oceans today. And truly, you cannot sink in that lake. I've tried it. I did sink. But the Sea of Galilee, at its deepest, it's a pretty deep lake. For only being 13 miles by 8 miles, the Sea of Galilee is 141 feet deep. But it is full of some nice fish. It is full of some nice fish, too. So Peter then humbles himself. He does humble himself, and he moves to the deeper waters. He drops the nets, and to everyone's surprise on those boats, the volume of fish that they snag and bring in was enough to start sinking not just one boat, but 2 boats. And so we have here, as we journey during the season of Lent, we have an up-close in an intimate moment between Jesus and a commercial fisherman, which further confirms Peter's belief that this is truly the Son of God, that this is truly the Messiah who has come to forgive sins. He's come to give sight to the blind. Peter's witnessed this too by this point, and he's understanding now that this Messiah, the Son of God, even has mastery over the deepest waters of Lake Superior and the Sea of Galilee and our deepest places in our oceans. Now notice verse 8. Peter then, upon recognizing this, that this is none other than God himself, Peter takes the appropriate Lenten position, prostrating himself in verse 8. Falling at the knees of Jesus. He acknowledges that he is a sinful man, unworthy to even be in the same boat. And he cries out to the Lord. He says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. And then Jesus says to Simon Peter in verse 10, he says, don't be afraid. We heard these same words spoken last Sunday to Peter, James, and John on Mount Hermon, remember? And it ties in nicely to our monthly memory verse. Be courageous. Be courageous, Peter. Do not be afraid. Now, I want to just mention, as we talked in our men's class this morning, you know, to be courageous and not be, that doesn't mean there's no element of fear or being, there still can be present. A fear of being scared somewhat. But it's stepping up. It's stepping in, it's stepping out, it's stepping up to do the right thing, even if it's uncomfortable, you know, even if we don't feel like we have it within ourselves. It's Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And so Peter, as we continue in this story, we see that Peter and his crew, they return to shore. And the story ends, perhaps, with Peter making the best business decision of his life, where he decides, here in this intimate moment with Jesus in the boat, he decides that gaining Jesus is worth leaving behind his nets, his boat, and even his great catch. Amen? Let me say that again. He recognizes. I mean, that's a lot to give up. But he recognizes that gaining Jesus is worth it all. And so we read in those final verses of our story, verse 10 and 11. From now on, he says, do not be afraid, because from now on, Peter, my friends, you're going to go from this place and you're going to be fishers of people. So they pull their boats up the shore, and notice, Peter leaves everything and decides to follow Jesus. From this point, he would be motivated and driven by love and not his career necessarily, or money, or material gain. He was learning to love. He was learning to love. There would be more lessons in Peter's life. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. But he was on his way. He was along the way. He was on his way, learning to serve and to love his Savior. This morning, we have the privilege and the joy of sharing in Holy Communion together. The table is set, and you are invited to come. You don't have to have this all figured out. I don't have this all figured out. But Christ invites you to come. Those who desire to believe and trust in Him, to follow Him. And so, as you come, there's some questions I want to invite you to ponder and to respond to during our communion time together. And they will appear here on the screen, and they'll remain there throughout communion. The first question is this. What if Jesus got into your boat, into your business? How might you respond? You remember last week, we were with Peter, James, and John on the top of Mount Hermon, where they experienced an incredible moment with Jesus, which they did not want to end. They wanted to capture it in the bottle. But here today, we encountered the same Jesus. But notice, this is quite different, because this time Jesus appears. He comes to them in their daily routine. So, my friends, yes, it's true. We follow a God whose love and who is present with us in the spectacular. But I want you to know too that we also serve and encounter God whose love and whose holy presence enters our daily lives, even the seashore muck, slimy nets, the bread and the cup and all. We have that type of God. Yes, he's in the spectacular, the Mount Hermon experiences we sometimes have, but he also is a God who isn't afraid to enter our mess. Sometimes that mess we have created. But we have a God who enters that. So here's the question. Where might God be present in that work, in your daily routine, in your joys and muck? Another question, what might the deeper waters look like for you? What might the deeper waters be for you right now? It's safe, yes, and comfortable, I understand, to remain in the shallow waters. Shallow faith, perhaps. But sometimes there's that call, like you, for us to come into deeper waters, to take a risk. And oftentimes that needs to happen if there's going to be any growth at all. So in this, oftentimes it's where the fish are, to be quite frank. So what new things might God be calling you to? The deeper waters represent for you, whether that be in your ministry, in your work, your profession. Maybe it's something to do with an educational choice that needs to be made. But what are those deeper waters represent? What about for Pleasant Community Church? What might our deeper waters be as we begin this new season of ministry together? And probably the most important question, as you come, is will we hear his call, this call to follow him? Will you follow? Will you follow? Jesus extends that call to us even as we come to the table this morning. You know, will you follow him? Will you recognize that, you know, gaining Jesus is the greatest treasure that we can ever embrace and enjoy on earth and in heaven. And so he reaches out to us. What will be our response to him in his invitation to come and to follow me? In some sense, as you come, as you share in Holy Communion, and hear that invitation, and by participating in communion, that's your answer. That you're recognizing that you too are a sinner in need of his grace and salvation here and now forevermore. Amen? Amen. And so, friends, I want to invite you to come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. And let us come and testify not that we are righteous and have this all figured out, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, not because you are weak, but because you are weak, not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but because in your frailty and sin that you too stand in constant need of God's mercy and help. Come not to express your opinion, but to seek God's presence and to pray for his Spirit. I want to invite you to stand with me at this moment. This is maybe something new for us. Some of us. I want to invite you together, I'll lead us through, to confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is a creed that's embraced by every Christian faith group, and it really captures well, in just a few phrases, the essence of what Christianity is all about. And so let us confess our faith as we prepare our hearts to come to the table. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And you may be seated. So on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and he broke it. And he said, my friends, this represents my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. At the same dinner table, he took the cup. Looking into their eyes, into those first disciples, recognizing, my friends, that we now are those disciples. Jesus said, this represents my blood, the new covenant. Come, take, and drink from it in remembrance of me. And my friends, as we share now from this bread and this cup, we remember our Lord. We remember his birth. Remember his life. Remember his baptism, his call, his ministry. It is right during the season of Lent to remember his suffering, his arrest, and his death on the cross. Remember his resurrection. Our God still comes to us. Yes, in the spectacular, but most of the time, it's just through bread and a simple bread and a simple cup. Father God, bless now this bread and this cup. We thank you that you still work in and through the material things of this world to get our attention, to remind us to not be afraid, that we belong, we are children of the living God, that we belong to you now in life and in death. And so meet us here. We just pray you set apart and bless this bread and cup that we're about to share. Draw us ever closer, Lord, to one another and to you. And Lord, send us out of this place, Lord, with the love and passion to embrace and renew our call to be fishers of people. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be together in this holy moment. In Jesus' name, amen.